بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In my dua, these verses were just going through my mind. Muflisanim amadim darkuetu shi'an lillah az jamal ruetu. The second line he says, Dast bakusha az janib zambil ma afreen bar dast pazuvetu. He says, Muflisanam amadim dar kuetu. We have come as beggars in your vicinity, to your palace, to your threshold, we have come as beggars. Shay'an lillah az jamal ru'atu. For the beauty of your countenance, give us something. On account of the beauty of your countenance, give us something. How beautiful words, eh? Isn't it something that we can include in our du'as? Muflisanam amadim dar ku'atu. Shay'an lillah az jamal ru'atu. We have come as beggars, helpless, useless. We have come to your threshold. We beg something from your mercy, from the beauty of your countenance. And then he says, Das bakusha az janib zambil ma. Zambil means basket. In Gujarati also they say jambil. So stretch your hands towards our basket, by beggar's bowl, stretch your hands towards my bowl. Afreen bardast bazuetu, may my life be offered to you. This Farsi language is a fiery language. It fires you up. Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi, when he passed away, so Amir Khusru was his Khalifa. Amir Khusru was the advisor to the king, second to the king he was. And he was the murid of Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi. So he's carrying the janazah of his sheikh, and he's in a pitiable condition. Amir Khusru is in a pitiable condition. And he says, E tamasha gahe alam ruhe tu, tu bakuja barahe tamasha barvi. He says, Oh you, he's talking to his sheikh. The whole world congregates to come and visit you. Where are you going to visit? E tamasha ga alam ruhe tu, tu bakuja, tu kuja batamasha baravi. Says the whole world comes to see you, and who are you going to see? Sakht be mahri, sakht be mahri ke be ma baravi. This is real unkindness. He's telling his sheikh, this is not kind at all. Yet you're going without me. And those people that were there at the janazah, they say, we had seen with our eyes that Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi, he's on the bier and his hand came up. They had to take Amir Khusru, push him away one side. Bhai, you're going to cause a commotion here, yeah? Move away. Now this was the real hal. Now we talk of hal in the Qawwali and all that. That hal is not authentic. This is the hal. If you want real hal, then show it. In your janazah, show it. That is the hal. Yeah, just jump up a little bit here and there, make some show, and then go flat after that. That is not that hal. That hal is now the janazah, and he's talking to his sheikh while the sheikh is passed away, he's in a different world. And the sheikh is responding. His hands are coming out of the coffin, prayer. And they have to take him, cart him away, push him away. Bhai, let us do our job now. But let's carry on. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, I don't know, my mind is going somewhere else now. Inshallah, we'll come back to the topic just now, but just digressed in the dua, I think. He says, I was doing the ghusl of my ustad. Passed away, so I was doing his ghusl. And I went to loosen his button. And he held my hand and he put it aside. So I went again to open the button. He caught my hand again for the second time and he put it on the side. Now he's dead. Ustad is dead. He's doing the ghusl. He went for the third time and the Ustad held the hand again. When he held the hand for the third time, he says, just put it on the side now. People will get badguman just now. People will have doubts about your death. Just put it on the side. So he says, he had a broad grin from one ear to the other ear, and then he allowed him to do the ghusl comfortably. So these awliya-i-kiram, it is just a journey from one realm to the other. It's a journey that they look forward to. Allah Ta'ala allow us to also look forward to that journey. Allah Ta'ala, let us look forward to that journey. That's what they look at it. They look at it as a journey, just moving from one abode to the other, one realm to the other. For them it becomes such that as though they are living in the hereafter, the joy, the ecstasy, and the enjoyment that they get from mudan is such as though they are living in the hereafter, but they are not seeing the hereafter. But the enjoyment, the relaxation, and the inner comfort that they are getting and enjoying is as though they are already there, bodily and physically they are here. Qari Tayyib Saab Rahmatullah Ali explained this once. And he says, some American student, a little bit of a loose cannon, you see. So he'll ask anything and everything. And it's enjoyable to have someone like that in the company. Because he may be the loose cannon, but because of him, a lot of us benefit. You know, that person that is a little bit loose, he will ask anything and everything. But the rest of the crowd is scared to ask these type of questions. And he will put those questions across and the whole crowd benefits. So he asked, I said, Jannat is already created and Jahannam, is it already created? Yes. And we'll move on to Jannat when? After Qiyamah, not after death. Death after death we'll have one Jannat, but that's a temporary Jannat. Like, you know, if you are apprehended, right? You are caught. Then for a short duration they put you into custody. After sentence, then they will put you into jail. So that's a custody, they call it. So that is a mini Jahannam. It's a mini prison. And you can't rule it off. Ask those people that are in custody how tight it is. Someone was telling us just now that it is so tight in that custody, 30 people cramped up in a small place, I think smaller than this pillar, you know, 4x4. 30 people, you can't even turn from one side to the other. It's so tight and so such a squeeze, you can't even tie, you can't even. So the period after death is like custody, is a mini Jannat. And the real Jannat will come after death, after Hisab and Kitab on the day of Qiyamah. So he asked Qari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that Hazrat, now this Jannat and Jahannam will go only after Hisab and Kitab. So why did Allah Ta'ala create it in advance? Allah Ta'ala illuminated Qari Sahib's heart. His heart was really bright, and what he could see, many people couldn't see. These awliya-i-kiram, their hearts become so bright that what you will understand after 50 years, they understand now. The vision is so great. That is the vision Allah Ta'ala blesses them with. So he says that, see, for everything there is a source. Allah Ta'ala can create things without a means and without a source. He can do it. There's nothing impossible for Allah Ta'ala. But the physical world, the physical universe that we live in, that Allah Ta'ala has created means and cause. You hear of rain, then you have clouds, condensation, raising of vapor, etc., that whole process, and then it comes into rain, right? You have heat and you have the sun. So there is a physical cause, and then you see that the sun and the rays and the heat, everything coming up, right? So why did Allah Ta'ala do this? And that is the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, why He did this, right? You can't see Allah Ta'ala directly. And Allah Ta'ala is seen through these mediums. Through these mediums, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beauty of the operation, of the function of the entire universe, you see His beauty. And you need to reflect over it. In the holidays, right, it is a habit that we take our children out. Alright? Don't make it a habit that it becomes to the point of addiction. That came the holiday and they must go. Because tomorrow they have to get married and they have to get into homes. Then affordability becomes a problem, whether they can afford it or they can't afford it. If they can't afford it, then it's a problem. Father's house, we are doing this and now we can't do it. So you create a problem for the child. And if you have to, then you go to areas that are fitna free. And there isn't the type of money that you have to waste. You can learn something. Children can learn something. I don't say now you must be a teacher and an instructor and a warner all the time. You be a friend to your child, but you show him. Took him to the bergs at a quiet period. Now you show him the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, sunrise. See this. The verse of the Quran, ثُمَّ كُلِي مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Now you take him to a apiary, a beehive, etc. And the whole verse of the Quran, if you have looked at it before, and you see now, see how it's going. And going to fetch the pollen, going to fetch the nectar, and how it produces the honey thereafter. See this, Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you show him a cow and how the milk is produced. You show him the verse after that. مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَبِ الْلَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. That how beautifully Allah ta'ala produces this. On the one end is the dirt and the filth that is in the stomach of the animal. And the other end is the blood. And then between the blood and the filth, then Allah Ta'ala runs a passage of milk that is uncontaminated, no contamination, no smell. You know, do you get a smell of fertilizer and dirt in the milk? No, nothing. How does this happen? The Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So you take them and it's an instruction and it's an introduction to Allah Ta'ala. The best gift, I think, in my understanding, that you can bestow your child is introduce him to Allah Ta'ala. Lead him to his creator. Introduce him to Allah. Who is your creator? Allah Pak introduces himself. Tabarak al-ladhi biyadihi al-mulk. Tabarak al-ladhi ja'ala fi as-sama'i burujan wa ja'ala fiha sirajan wa qamaran munira. Those celestial bodies that he's created, what perfect and what precision they are operating. Look at it. You don't hear the sun, that there is a single second of difference in its operation last year and this year. 2 seconds or 2 minutes of difference. What precision they are moving with. You're taking them for a drive, you're showing them nature, you're showing them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't use the word nature. They say nature, and they try and hide the name of Allah ta'ala. Say Allah ta'ala's work. See Allah ta'ala's beauty in all this. But you're showing him firsthand, then he identifies. Then the fear of Allah ta'ala, the love of Allah ta'ala is instilled in the child's heart. So recognize your creator, understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is he? As the recognition increases, the love increases. You recognize your father, you recognize your mother, what she's done for you, the sickness. Don't you hear that you will find one cousin, one relative, one person, and he did a small favor. The man was in jail, perhaps he pulled him out, he bailed him out. He gave him an abode for 2-3 days where he was really fixing the problem. So this favor, this ihsan, we'll never forget. Don't we hear people saying this? We hear this, that we can never forget this person's ihsan. But by Allah Pak's favors are raining, they're pouring on you all the time. This is a favor that the man did to you. We do recognize it, we acknowledge it. Islam also tells us and instructs us that, and acknowledge the person's favor. But comparatively to the favor of Allah Ta'ala, which is pouring, it's flooding all the time. Now think about it, talk about it, recognize it, and then let that Alhamdulillah come out of the heart. Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had told Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in his parting advice, Makkah Mukarramah, after he had stayed there for the 6 months of Islah, and he was returning, on the returning, one of the last advices he told him, he says, Mia Ashraf, he used to call him Mia Ashraf. He said, but it was so beautiful from his lips to hear that, Mia Ashraf, he was talking to me with love. It was much better than millions of people, Hazrat and Janab, Tamad Barakatum, Qaddasallahu, Sirrahu, all that. So this Hadith Sahib has beautiful words, Mia Ashraf. A beloved tells you, Ashraf, how you feel? How nice do you feel? How nice do you feel? And how the heart goes upside down. Someone beloved, someone that's very dear. Mia Ashraf, he says, Pani jab piyo, to isko thanda karke piyo. When you drink water, then drink it cool. Makkah Mukarramah, you know the temperature is going 45 degrees, 48, 50 degrees. Drink nice, chilling, cool, crystal, clear water. How relaxing. On khajur, and over that you drink that water. How beautiful, how nice it looks. And then he says, okay, Vaise, if you drink that ordinary water, a little bit warm water, it will go down, it will quench your thirst, but you'll say, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. And if you drink that cool, crystal, clear water, nice, relaxing, refreshing, then you'll say, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. And if you're in Cape Town, you'll say, Alhamdulillah. Only say that. Now that Alhamdulillah is coming, dil se nikal raha, right? That Alhamdulillah is coming from the heart. You are identifying with Allah Ta'ala. How happy does an Allah get? You're talking to Him, you're praising Him, and your bond with Allah Ta'ala is increasing. Your love for Allah Ta'ala is increasing. Simple things, can't we teach that to our children? Alhamdulillah. It's coming from the heart. Who gave this Allah Pak? Allah Pak is so kind, He's so loving, He's so merciful. The love for Allah Ta'ala is kindled in the heart of the child. He's growing up in love. And as he grows up, he progresses in life. And his love is increasing and strengthening. The bonding is there. Now, will it be easy for the child or the youngster now to fall into sin, transgression? Will it be easy? It's going to be difficult. Allah has been so kind. And he's your son. How can I forget? For as man, you say you can't forget the person's ihsan. Allah Ta'ala's ihsan, how can I forget? What he did for me? What he didn't do for me? How can I forget this? So these are simple ways. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. See, to understand this Buzurgan Hadith is not an easy thing. Many people went astray as a failure of understanding Awliya Kiram. Like the Kuffar and Juhal, they had gone astray because they did not understand the Anbiya. Ma li hadhar rasuli ya'kulu at-ta'am wa yamshi fil aswaq. This Rasul, he eats like how we eat. Right? And he goes through the streets. So there's no difference between us and him. He eats like we eat, he drinks like we drink, and he relates like how we relate. He has a family need, we have a family need. So what's the difference between us and this Rasul, this Anbiya? So they liken the Nabi to themselves. They liken the Rasul to themselves. Similarly, when we see Awliya Kiram, and we see some of their needs, and we see them interacting with people, with children, etc., and then we say, what's the difference between us and these Awliya Kiram? Mawla Rum Rahmatullah Alayhi says there's a world of difference. There's a world of a difference. Garche dar navishtan Sher or Sheer. Although in writing, when you write Sher and you write Sheer, it's spelled the same, right? Sheen Ya Ra. Sher is also spelled the same, and Sheer is also spelled the same. But there's a world of a difference. Sher is a lion, and Sheer is syrup. Now you say Sinni. Sinni comes from the word Sheerini, sweet, right? But now in our Gujarati, we mutilate the word. We distort the word and we say sinni. From where it came, and where it ended up. Shirini it was, and we say sinni. Real distortion, isn't it? So though there may be a difference, there may be, on the outward it may look identical, the same, but there's a world of a difference. So these awliya-i-kiram, they may look identical to you, but their ways and your ways, their niyat, your niyat, the outlook and your outlook, there's a world of a difference. So don't compare yourself to them. Many a people have gone astray because of this. Say, what's the difference? He's doing this, and I'm doing this, so what's the difference? He's making qurbani, I'm making qurbani, so what's the difference? There's a world of a difference. Azizji Rahmatullah used to say that their work and their sacrifice and their struggle is internal. Your struggle is external. You know, you see a water duck swimming the lake, right? And you see a man swimming the lake. The man that is swimming the lake, he's paddling, and you see him, he's swimming and paddling, lot of movement, lot of action. And the water duck that is swimming the lake from one end to the other, you don't see it moving at all. Wings are flapping, you don't see anything. But from within, it's paddling away. Underneath the water, it's paddling away. So there's a lot of movement, but you can't see the movement, you can't observe the movement. So you say, hey, what work it's doing, and comparatively what I am doing. So many people have gone astray as a result of comparing themselves against the awliya. So what is the difference? We are the same, they are the same. There's no difference between us and these people here. Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, he was in his khanqa, and one woman left a child for his islah. So she came to visit the child after 6 months or a year or so, and she saw that the child is dried up to skin and bones, literally. There's a few hard crumbs of bread before him, and the child is literally reduced to skin and bones. It's affected naturally, my one and only child, and ye uski halat hai. She goes a little bit forward, she sees the sheikh, and he's got a murghe musallam, tandoori chicken he's got, with the works and all. Right. Now, she's thinking to herself, okay, if there is mujahada and sacrifice, is it only meant for my child, not for you? What she's saying in her mind, that if there is mujahada, sacrifice and struggle, all that is only meant for my child, and you can enjoy yourself here. Is this buzrugi and all this piety and righteousness all about? Women sometimes, they just say things, they don't mean it really. Many a times, just discount them. Sometimes 100%, 90%, 80%, just discount it, then you go well with them. But you take their things seriously, then you don't go with them. Right? They'll tell you sometimes, hey, you know, living with you, I'll go mad. Man. Now, you think, hey, he said a bad thing I did, now I'll get mad, she's getting mad because of me. Now you start taking the other end, and you get into a dialogue and a discussion, really there'll be a problem. Just ignore them, carry on. You think what is right, you must do. Just ignore them. But in their presence, don't do as though you are ignoring them. That's all. In their presence, like, it's very important what they're talking about. And after that, you must do what you feel is right. Some ladies in our family should say, sab ki sun apni kar. What? Sab ki sun apni kar. You have to be a good listener in life, remember. You want to go well in life. You have to listen to everybody. But what you think is right, you must do that. And you can't enter into dialogue with everybody. Everybody reasons differently, they think differently, they act differently, they behave differently. Now you're going to dialogue with everybody. It's going to be a problem. You can't be a winner all the time. So some people you listen and you forget about it, ignore it. Some people are in the position that you can discuss with them. Their minds are open. But most people aren't like that. Their minds are all closed. Or they are preconceived. They've got some other shade in their minds. You're going to talk with them and you're going to feel more and more frustrated. But why the man is not understanding? Why he doesn't understand? See, you get all types in this world. All types you get. Yesterday, Isha time, I went to read my namaz, you know. So, just before the namaz, about 6 minutes or 5 minutes before the namaz, one person tells me, Mawlana, I want to see you for 2 minutes after the namaz. I want to show you people, and the ways are all different. All different. All mixed up. Their reasonings are different. And they don't all have to be right. So he tells me, I want to see you 2 minutes after the namaz. All right, sure. So after the namaz, I came, sat by the bench, what's your problem? So he says, you know what? Some person came to purchase some item from my shop. So in the course of the discussion, he's telling me that he is doing business with so-and-so. So-and-so is purchasing some items from him. So I told him as a matter of caution, but just be careful how you deal with him, because he's a poor payer. Many people have had problems with him, so just be careful. I'm telling you this in confidence, you don't have to leak it out to anybody, but this person, this is his halat, so just be careful when you're dealing with him. He went away. 1-2 days later, he receives a telephone from that man. Bhai, why are you going to tell the whole world that I'm a bad payer? Whereas the person has got a bad record. He has got a bad record. And now this person went and told it to that person that this is what this man tells about you. So he says, I felt very hurt about it and I wanted to hit this person. What do you think? Should I hit him or not? You know? Now this man is nice, double size. I feel scared also standing in front of him. So I said, no, you just avoid him. But what he did was wrong. No, but you say that what he did was wrong. Why you say what he did was wrong? I said, listen. Say for example, look at it. Simple example. If someone came proposing your daughter, right? And he comes and tells you that he's proposing. He comes and tells you that my daughter has already received this proposal. And you know the person that has sent the proposal is in drugs, right? You don't disclose it to him for the fear that he may come to know about it, right? Or the proposal may just be rejected. And later on, when the problem surfaces, you tell him, you know what, I knew that this proposal, this person came with a proposal, he had a drug problem, 5 years later. What will happen to him? He says, no, he'll feel horrified, man, that you knew about it. Why didn't you bring it to my attention? I said, exactly. This is a Muslim's duty, that don't let your brother fall into that pit. That was your duty. If he's a bad payer, he's a bad debtor, it was your duty to tell him. But that person, he can't understand correctly. That was told in confidence, he's supposed to keep it within him. He was not supposed to leak it out to that person. Now that is his stupidity, his weakness, his naivety. So I say people come with all types of understanding, the reasonings are all corrupt. And then there are all different types of people coming to the masjid. There may be an old musalli, but his understanding is not right. There may be a new musalli and his understanding may be right. So people are coming with mixed baggages, mixed understanding. Now you're going to go enter into dialogue with everybody. Obviously you're going to get into problem. There will be a person who's got understanding. His understanding is strong. And there are people that don't have that level of understanding. That is why Hazraji Rahmatullah used to say that it is not healthy that you attend every talk of every individual. What both may be saying are right, but the context may be different. Right? The context may be totally different. And if you don't understand the context, you will confuse, you will complicate, you will mix up issues. Now look at it. We will address one crowd, right? We will address the crowd. I say, Alhamdulillah, enjoy the comforts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but don't overdo it. Live a life of moderation. Got sofa, you got good beddings, you got a good lounge, etc. MashaAllah, enjoy it. Swimming pool, enjoy it. MashaAllah. So this was an address directed to one crowd. There's another crowd that is far poorer. Far, far poorer. They're living in the shacks or they're living in a jundol. So you don't address them in the same way. You say, Alhamdulillah, be thankful to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also great. Won't you address them in that way? You will address them in that way. This is a class of Muslim, this is a class of Muslim. Both will be addressed differently. Now, to any crowd, in every crowd, you bring any type of hadith, you're going to create a confusion. Now you bring the hadith now. See, Hazrat Hamza says, just listen to one person, carry on. Don't listen to too many people. Now you bring that hadith, and you say, for example, that now you got a very, very soft, nice cushion, and how you going to get up for tahajjud? That's a fact. It's an hadith where that one of the Ummul Mu'mineen had doubled the bedding. It was difficult to get up, right? Now, every crowd, you don't go and recite these things. You don't tell every crowd, don't go and say these things. It's a crowd that is already steeped in comfort. You will tell them, all right, gradually come down. Alhamdulillah, make shukr, enjoy it, be comfortable, and don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar Paranpuri sahab, rahmatullahi, he brought this out once in Nizamuddin. I think amongst the last talks that I heard of his. So in the morning talk, he says, Are Hindustani Hazrat, oh you Hindustani Indian people, please, these people that are coming from foreign lands, Africa, London, America, etc., don't insist on them eating the Merkaz food, the dal and all these things here. They have got an appetite. They have got a certain style. They will go out and eat. They will feel comfortable. Now you're going to force them to eat this dal and what have you, and their stomachs are going to get spoiled just now. They get diarrhea or constipated. You bring them on a mustahab, and they are compromising their faras just now. That's what his words. You're going to bring them to a mustahab, and they will begin to compromise in the faras. Now the namaz time, they're going running toilet. And they're complaining, aching this idea. They can't continue. So the same thing happens with different classes of people. Now, we don't understand these things. Yeah? These Buzurgan Adin, they understand those subtleties. Those very, very subtle aspects. They understand it. It's a different crowd. It's a different class. It's a different person. How do I address this? Al-Mu'at Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi says that one daku. Daku is a thief, robber, looter. Somehow he found his way to the khanqah. And everybody finds the place, the way to the khanqah. So he found his way to the khanqah. And anyway, by the morning, the khanqah people began to complain. And all our shoes are all mixed up. Some is thrown that side, someone by the toilet, and whatever. So they worried now. They perplexed now. How this thing started or wait? And so they said, now we'll watch tonight. Who's doing all this thing here? So someone is watching. So they see this daku is doing it, taking this shoe, putting it that side, that shoe, throwing it on this end. So the sheikh summoned this person, this daku. Al-Mu'at Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi is raising this incident. Bhai, what's wrong? What's your problem? You came for your Islam, what you came for here? So don't get angry. But my problem is that I got an obsession for stealing. Now you told me not to steal. When you took accepted bayat at your hands, you told me not to steal. Now, I've got such a passion for stealing that it's like a cigarette. It's like a drug. If I don't do it, I won't feel asleep. I'll feel restless. I'm battered from 11 o'clock to sleep, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I can't get the sleep. Now, just to give some vent to that feeling of mine, so I have to do something. Cause a small commotion, take this shoe, dump it that side, that shoe, this side. Then I felt a little bit at ease. So the sheikh said, by just ye mazur admi hai. He is an excused person. Just leave him. Don't trouble him. Understand? You see, so to understand this awliya-i kiram, it's a different thing. It's an absolutely different thing. We don't understand them. And a simple prescription for us is just go with that buzurg. Whatever he's telling you, just go with him. Don't do your own thing after that. Now you listen to this person. He's saying you something in a different context. He's saying you something in a different context. He's studying in a very high pitch and he's coming in a very low pitch. Now, you're saying, not much, what must I do? Well, this Mawlana is right for me, man. That Mawlana is right for me. Now, you're going to be a pick and choose Islam. It's going to be an Islam that is going to be pick and choose. You rather go with one person, understand the theme. What is the theme here? You haven't understood the theme. You will be thinking to yourself that you are imitating that buzurg. You are going as per his instruction. Tami Sabrahman says, people think that they have blended into my color, but really they haven't blended into my color. You know, the simile he gives is, he says, these people come with different colored bottles, blue bottle, bright blue bottles, right, yellow bottle, green bottle, and I am the water. So the blue bottle thinks that I am blue, bright blue thinks I am bright blue, green one thinks I am green, yellow one thinks I am green, I am yellow. So I'm not of any of these colors. My color is totally unique. But the color that he's come with, the type of outlook he's got, he feels that I am of that type. And this person feels I am of that type. So I've got a different color to the rest of the crowd. You understand? So this mashayikh and this awliya kiram, the mistake that we make is we begin to liken them to ourselves. مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامِ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ As Mawla Rum Rahmatullah says, like they had mistaken the Anbiya and the Rasuls, they had also mistaken awliya kiram. I said Rasuls. I'm supposed to say Rusul, right? Now certain words is better to say it in this way. I say Rusul. Right? Now half of you won't understand why I'm saying Rusul. Right. Now in English, you are speaking English, you're saying Nabi, and Nabis, it will be easier for you to understand. Alright, now the word Anbiya is caught on, so you understand that Anbiya is a plural of Nabi. But otherwise you won't understand it. So these are subtle things, are small things that people understand and they understand quickly. So you understand and you understand very, very quickly. You know, I was seeing someone wrote the plural of surahs. Plural of surah, sur, right? So now I said, hey, you writing the sur there, what the people will think? What people will think? They aren't of that level of understanding. Now you bring in the exact Arabic plural. And that exact Arabic plural won't be understood by these people. They will be misconstrued. They will misunderstand the whole thing. They'll miss the point. So you talk to people at their level. But now, we are in the habit, yeah? We are in the habit, listen to all talks, every talk. Now you're sitting in the car, listen to one talk, listen to one tape. Before sleeping, listen to a lot of, I'm doing a lot of dini work. So many tapes I heard, so many things I heard. But that's not the reason for doing this. The reason is that talk is a medication. That medication was not to experiment. Yeah? You got a 50,000 deal of medicine. Does it mean that you must go and experiment everyone, try everyone out? No. It doesn't. That's a medication. When you need that medication, you take it. Now you're testing every medication. Aspirin, Panadol, Dispirin, Grandpa, everyone you're testing. You're testing it out. Is that the reason for the medication? Not the reason for the medication. It's good. It's great. But you will take the medication that is required by yourself. You're going to take every medication. You're going to confuse yourself. And you don't know whether you're coming or you're going. So in deen, there is a thing like maslihat, advantage, expediency. Understand the situation, understand the complexity of the situation, then you diagnose. And you don't understand the complexity, then unnecessarily you'll begin to complain that Islam is so difficult, we don't know what to do, whether we're coming, whether we're going, we can't practice Islam. But this complexity you brought upon yourself, is not that Islam is difficult, it's you that brought this difficulty upon yourself. Had you understood the situation, had you gone followed the right procedure, you wouldn't have got all this type of confusion. The confusion has come because of your problem. You're listening to too much. You don't know what to take, what not to take, how much to take and how much to throw out, you don't know. So understanding context, siyak, sabak, taking from one person, the person that has seen the road, right? You take from him, you don't get confused. No problem. Easy now. Like you're just passing through soft butter. Otherwise, it's not such a difficult thing. Right? Hadi Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, Hadi Mawtami Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, speaks about him. Then look at his understanding, look at the man's understanding. Man comes up to him, says, I'm involved in the banks. Hadi Sahib, rahmatullah tells him, alright, you carry on, look for a halal alternative, make istighfar and carry on. look for some of the. Now, Muwatthalibi Sahib Rahmatullah comments on this and he says, see, for many a people, if they don't have an income, proper income, it will be a means for their minds straying away completely out of the truth, out of deen. See, his tongue is so difficult. Na'uz billah, how can you run a life? They will begin to speak against Islam. So what Hazrat Hadi Sahib has done, he has made this a protection against kufr. What? His mind could have gone kufr. But you don't know what is poverty. Let me tell you, you don't know what is poverty. And what it can do to a wealthy person, you don't know about it. Because you brought up in the lap of comforts. And let that comfort just go away from you. Just for 1 month, and you must be completely despondent of getting any wealth. See what happens to you. You lose it. I won't be surprised if more than 3/4 of us will all get depressed. Will fall in deep, deep despondency and depression. So you don't know what it does. So these people know they are Hakimul Ummat. They know what it is. Allah says that no, this is a protection against kufr. If he's got this, this is a support. It's a pillar. It's a security against kufr. Look at the man's understanding. Not only his understanding, look at his wife's understanding, Hadi Sahib Rahman's wife's understanding. I want to show you something, that staying by this Buzurgana thing, following them, following one person, just carrying on. And then don't listen to too many things. It will definitely confuse you. It will be true what they are saying, but it's meant for a certain crowd. It's not meant for you. Now you keep on talk about that hadith, the Sahaba Kiram ate one khajur and water. But you tell me that you had a proper roza for the whole day and Maghrib time you went home to eat and your wife says, you know, today, darling, you'll only have khajur and water, nothing else. No preparation, only khajur and water. Tell me what will happen. Tell me exactly what will happen. You'll bring the whole roof down. Or I decide in the Khanqah, perhaps you will control your temper and all that. But never mind, you say no. Hey, I have to do something for tonight. Definitely you will say, what? I have to do something for the night. Won't you say that? You'll go for Kentucky or somewhere, wherever you'll go, but you'll go somewhere. That, you know, we become addicted eaters. We need that type of comfort. We need that type of food. Then only you'll get the sleep. Otherwise you're going to swear the wife the whole night. So you are so spoiled. Now you're talking about that level. It's beyond your comprehension. It's beyond. Now why are you talking about this? And why are you impressing upon it? I don't say don't talk about it, but don't impress. Don't say, now do this, do this, do this. Because that person will feel, now I can't fit into the league of righteousness because I can't fit the criteria. So you made the person turn away from Islam. So you need to understand, hey, Bashiru, the hadith is saying, Bashiru, win people over. Bring them to Allah Ta'ala, not chase them away. Bring them closer to Allah. Don't chase them away. Why are you chasing them away? They're in a different league. They're living in the laps of comfort and you bring this hadith. So I'm speaking about Hadith Abraham's wife. And this whole confusion is coming about. I'm thinking about it this whole week. Why is this coming about? It's because of the same reason. You're listening to too many people, too many kitabs, too many bayans, tapes, everything. And then it's a whole kachumar in your mind. You don't know what to take and what to leave out. Like a diet program. You know, in the internet you'll find 5,000 different type of diet plans. You try and introduce every diet plan in yourself, what will happen? You'll die. That will say don't eat. That will say must eat. That will say must eat only kachuma. That will say you must only eat meat. Red meat, so much you must eat. And that will say, you know, omega-3 you must eat. Oh, you don't know what to eat now. What to eat, what not to eat. How must I get my diet right? So you will definitely get confused. So you have to just go on one doctor, whoever, you know, who's experienced and who's quite mature, sensible, and he's got good results, good successes. Go with him and carry on with your life. So this is the confusion, and this is where this confusion is coming about. If you do it in medication, anywhere you're going to do it, you're going to cause a problem for yourself. In your business, no, someone says, no, start off cars. You start cars. Someone says, no, import the sweets is very good, sell sweets. Then another person says, no, get medicine and sell that medicine is very good. You bring 50 things in your shop, you can't concentrate on a single thing, you're not going to make business. You'll have to take one thing, what you are good at, you will have to carry on. The Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah had passed away. So, Muwatthalibi Sahib Rahmatullah, as a duty, he wrote up to Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah's wife. She's in Makkah, Mukarrama. That I want to show you her understanding. a level of understanding, being a woman, right? So he writes up to her that Hari Sabrahmada is no more, and we feel it a duty to see to your comfort. Like how you look at the comfort of our mother, we look at your comfort as well. Now look at the answer. Her answer is, I am presently in Iddat, and whilst I am in Iddat, for you to be talking about this thing is not appropriate. I am in Iddat, right? I am supposed to be living in my husband's home. You are talking to me, in other words, you are inferring that I must come to India and complete my Iddat there. To talk about this thing, this subject, while I am in Iddat is not appropriate. You see that understanding? She's not an alima. She's not an alima, but she'll put all our alimas away. The application she knows is better than our alimas. Alright, the Iddat ended. After the Iddat had ended, now Hazrat Muhammad Tawi Sabrahmada Rahmatullahi writes another letter that your Iddat has ended. Now, where do you choose to live? India or Makkah Mukarramah? Now look at the answer. Answer is, I am a woman. And women, naqisatul aql hote hai. They are deficient in the intelligence. So I can't have a suggestion of my own. What? See that, how her reasoning is. How apt, how accurate, how correct. See, she's saying the hadith. What is she saying? She's saying the hadith. Woman's reasoning is deficient. So don't ask me for my suggestion. You, or Rashid Ahmad Dungwai Sahib Rahmatullah, you'll all decide about me and you'll carry on. And don't leave it pending on my suggestion. Now, how easy life becomes when you write deen, how easy life becomes. Anyway, just then, someone had made some arrangements and she spent the rest of her life at Makkah Mukarramah. But what I want to show you, see the understanding, see the reasoning. It's a simple example, but it's a reflection of the person's mind, his understanding, and his firmness on deen. Isn't it? Hari Sahib Rahmatullah himself, look at his understanding. He's also not ba-zabta alim, you know, like an official alim. Although he did some kitabs and all that. But officially you won't say that he's a mulana. But look at the understanding. Application is 100% better than an alim. On Ahl Hadith, he comes up and he says, I want to take bayat at your hands. Very good, alright. Do this wazifas and all that. Whatever ta'lim he gave him, so carry on. So he comes after 2-3 weeks to Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Hadi Sahib, you know what? Now I have left out Rafa Yaday and Amin Bil Jahar. Ahl Hadith normally they raise their hands at the time of going to Ruku and going to Sajda. And they say Amin loudly, right? 2-3 things they do. Spread their feet and all that in namaz, in the Qiyam position, say Amin loudly, raise their hands, etc. So this person says to Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that after I have taken bayat at your hands, then I have left these practices. I have left raising the hands at the time of going of ruku, saying Amin loudly, I have left all these things. So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah tells him, see, now this is that insaf, this is that justice. This is that fine line that we all like and we will all talk greatly about. But see that, what he says. He says, if you have left out saying that Amin aloud and saying takbir, you know, saying raising your hands at the time of going at ruku, if you have changed because your tahqiq has changed, in other words, before this was your understanding, now your understanding has changed, you felt that this is more closer to the sunnah than the previous practice, you find now that this is closer to the sunnah and closer to the hadith, then I accept it. But if you're doing this because Hadi Sahib is doing it, because I am doing it, then I don't want to assume any responsibility for this. You do it at your own accord, not because I am doing it. Now if it was all of us, hey, mashallah, he became our khayal now. Huh? He became our khayal, we got one more supporter. Now, these people were not worried about support. They worried about Allah Ta'ala. That this man did this imitating you. Right? He didn't do it because it was the sunnah. But because he's imitating you. And are you prepared to accept the responsibility in the court of Allah Ta'ala? So that istihzar, that consciousness, that awareness of the presence of Allah Ta'ala is there in their minds all the time. I don't want to be responsible. See that understanding. Now this grows in the presence, in the company of this awliya kiram. And as I said today, that the theme and the direction is just go with one person. Don't take too many things, too many bayans, etc. And then you create a confusion for yourself. Rather, tawfiq nasib.